Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There is something thrilling and wonderful in the thoughts of home. The saying is, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. We may go away from home for a while, even on a most pleasurable experience, maybe visiting friends and loved ones and enjoying a vacation or a trip of some kind, but we're glad to get home again, aren't we? We like to think of home and the many wonderful memories concerning home and those who inhabit home. Well, our lesson now centers on the thoughts of home, but not our earthly home, but the most wonderful home of all, the heavenly home. For the Christian, this world is not our home, at least not our permanent home. It is but a temporary one for a short while at the longest. Life is pictured to us in Scripture as a vapor that will soon be finished. And someone has said, life is really not finished, it will just come to a stop nonetheless. We're just passing through this domain on our way to another land, on our way home. Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We are but sojourners, as the man that goeth to his long home. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. We're striving for that better destination, just like Abraham, looking for that city whose builder and whose maker is God. And we sing the song that says, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Friend, heaven is that home for which we long. But certain things are required of us to go home to heaven. To go home to heaven, we must earnestly desire to go there. The way that some seem to live, their lives indicate that they would not want to live in heaven even if they could. Their desires and ambitions are not on heavenly matters. They will have to change their likes and dislikes before they would even enjoy heavenly fellowship. Now, Abraham desired a better country, Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. And at the death of his infant son, David expressed the desire to go and to be with him, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23. And few words express the desire for heaven more adequately than those of Paul in Philippians 1, 22 and 23. He said, but I am a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is very far better. When I was a young child, I wondered at the statements I sometimes heard from older people as they talked about the time of their death. And they did not look upon it with dread and fear, but almost with a sense of anticipation and a pleasure to come. Some actually looked forward to it because they had had such a hard time in this life. Now, as I grow older, I have not yet been able to fully grasp that sense and attitude toward departing from this world, but I can see more clearly why some would desire to leave the toils of the road and the cares and the pain and the suffering and the difficulties and to depart to be with those who are saved eternally, which would include many loved ones who had gone on before them. But there must be a desire to go to heaven. And possibly some do not have sufficient desire and therefore they will not succeed. I heard a rather humorous story about having sufficient motivation and desire to accomplish something. In England, the graves are dug 10 feet deep, I'm told. And not only are graves found in cemeteries, but other places. An educator died, and his grave was dug on the campus where he taught. The evening before the funeral, one lad was crossing the campus in the dark and fell into the grave. The depth of it made it impossible for him to be able to get out, however hard he tried. So he resigned himself to sit in a corner and wait for the dawn to bring help. By chance, another lad was walking the same area, and he also fell into the same open grave, unaware of the first occupant, of course, in one dark corner. The second lad jumped and jumped and tried to get out, but was making no headway, and finally the first boy said, It's no use trying because you can't get out. On hearing those words from a source unknown, he suspected the worst, and he leaped from the grave with a single bound. You might say that he had been sufficiently motivated. He had a strong desire to get out. Well, maybe that's what more of us need. A strong desire for heaven to be our home. But to go to heaven, we must decide to go there. One will not just accidentally come upon it. And actually, it is amazing that man is given the opportunity to make such a decision. Now, life is filled with making decisions, some of which are rather insignificant, but many are so important and life-forming, even determining our eternal destiny. Some of the more momentous decisions we make in life are where we shall live, and our means of livelihood, who we shall marry, and many other such things. But the most important decision of all, friend, the most important decision of our entire existence, what shall I do concerning Christ? To refuse to decide to live in Christ and for Christ is to decide not to go to heaven. This we shall emphasize later in the lesson, but the necessity of making decisions, that's a part of living. God pleads with us to decide for Christ. He urged the people before the flood to turn from their wickedness through the preaching of Noah, Genesis 6 and 2 Peter 2. And even now we're invited to come to Christ, Revelation 22:17. The Lord does not want any to perish, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. If anyone is lost, it will be because they've decided to be lost rather than saved. The making of this decision is a very personal matter, and it reflects a personal responsibility. None can decide for me, and none can decide for you. Others may encourage, they may instruct me, but each one must act in obedience to God for himself or herself. We can help one another prepare for heaven, but each must make his own preparation. We have to choose whom we shall serve, like Joshua said he did. There's an old song that asks the question, what will Christ do with me? Well, friend, that depends upon what I do with Christ. And there is but one way to make heaven our home, and that's the way of Christ. There is no other. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. Peter preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul said, there's only one Lord. We all must walk by the same one rule, Philippians 3 and verse 16, and the gate is straight and the way is narrow, Matthew 7:13 and 14. But friend, we either go that way to heaven or we do not go. Some have mistakenly accepted the idea that there are many ways to reach heaven and we can choose whatever way we prefer. Well, we must choose to go the way God has prescribed. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. As another great and grand song of worship states, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. And that's the teaching of Ephesians 2 and verse 16. It's the way of the cross that leads home. What is another amazing and wonderful thought is that the way home is simple and it is understandable. It's not complicated. It's not mystical. It's not beyond our reach. This is not to suggest that the way is always easy to travel. Actually, the opposite is often the case. But it is the way that we have to go, and we have the capacity to go that way if we determine to do so. This way may be thought of in three simple steps. 1, we are lost and out of Christ. 2, we believe in Christ, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and are baptized into Christ where salvation is. And 3, by remaining faithful to Christ in life, we have God's own word that heaven will be our home. You see, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Christ provides us the salvation, and salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. And if we abide in Christ, he will abide in us, John 15:6. And the living of life in fellowship and the fellowship of the steps of Christ as our example, do you know where that will lead us? It will lead us right to the gates of glory. There we shall be privileged to hear Christ's own words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," Matthew 25:34. It is then that the toils of the road will seem nothing. We will have reached the end of the way. We will be home at last. What a comforting and wonderful thought to think of the home over there. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the angels of heaven, the redeemed of all the ages, they will be there waiting to greet us. And we shall be forever blessed in the presence of all that's holy and righteous in our heavenly home. There's a story told of two men who were returning to this country on the same vessel. One was a very famous and prominent person, whose return had received a great deal of publicity. The other was an old man with his beloved wife. He was coming back after many years of service as a preacher in a foreign land. As the boat neared the dock, one could see the banners and hear the bands playing a song of welcome. But the fanfare was only for the famous individual, not the preacher and his wife. Everyone was welcoming the famous one home. There was not even one person on the dock to beat the old preacher who had given his life in service to God and to others. And he felt a little hurt by it. Not that there was not a great display, but that nobody at all was there. His hurt was observed by his wife, and she asked what was bothering him, and he told her, "I did hope that somebody would be here to welcome us home." And she wisely and scripturally remarked, "My dear husband, we're not home yet." She understood what this lesson is that I'm trying to convey to you. Heaven is our home. And when we long for it, when our journey of earth comes to a close, what a glad welcome home we shall receive. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.